Hi, this is Ben Domenech, the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. We're a daily show coming to you 5 days a week from Washington, D.C., where we interview our nation's top journalists, politicians, authors, chefs, economists, entertainers, and more. If you're looking for a contrarian discussion on news, politics, or culture, give us a listen and subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Be a part of the Swinging Sounds. Support Chris Maxipata at the Swinging Sounds.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Support the people who support the podcast. And let me get right to my guest, Eliza Schlesinger.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
So I'm having this weird reaction. And probably the reason I screwed up the intro to the show is I drank a gigantic venti coffee after having two other cups of coffee and then graduated to a Diet Coke. And I'm having pre-panic attack kind of weird jitter.
Yeah.
Look at my hand. I'm jittering.
That is it's not
insane.
Good for a doctor.
It's insane that I let myself do this.
Are you tired? Is that you were just trying to stay up?
I was trying to – well, I was doing some podcasts with Adam, and I was having trouble sort of staying focused on him, and he insists on absolute focus on him. So I thought, if I have a little coffee, I'll be fine. And then they did a Starbucks run. I said, well, give me a venti.
When someone's doing a run.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want it.
That's right. And so I could have gone for something easy, a latte or something, but now I go for the full venti, red eye or black eye. You ever had those?
Do you know what those are? No, what is that?
It's a regular gigantic coffee with one or two shots of espresso in it.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
No big deal. I didn't call
it a black eye.
No big deal. I call it a fucking panic attack. Anyway, the book is The Girl Logic, The Genius, and the Absurdity. It's available now on Amazon. I love the idea of this book.
I've not read it yet.
I'm going to read it. You're going to tell me a little bit about it.
Yes.
You've always been very outspoken and very great.
Very great.
No, you've been great. You're my favorite. You know that. But I mean, you're the stuff you're talking about, male and women, I think is courageous and real.
Thank you.
And there's stuff in the way women think and the way men think that just need to be understood. Like recently, I'm having a panic attack while I'm talking to you. It's weird. Maybe it's you.
I induce this.
Oh, by Freezing Hot is her new stand-up.
No, it's Confirm Kills.
No, Confirm Kills. That's what I meant.
That's okay. I'm here.
Liza.
One of us
Liza.
Showed up.
ILIZA.com, at Eliza. But I was – I'm forgetting her name right now because I'm actually going to see her tomorrow, actually, of all weird things. But she was one of the victims of Harvey Weinstein.
Well,
she
that's a long list.
Yeah. And she's a friend of mine. And why can't I remember her name? Help me with this. She's a Fox News reporter here locally.
Megyn Kelly?
No.
Oh, locally?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, locally. And I was talking to her about what happened to her, and she started describing it. I went, oh, that's not a male experience, what happened to you there. And I as a male need to be very sensitive to what you were experiencing, which was she had a freeze response. Everyone was like, why didn't you kick him in the nuts? Why didn't you run past him? And she goes,
right.
She goes, no, three things happened. It was a poorly defined situation, so I was trying to understand it.
Suss it out.
What's he doing?
Happening.
He's masturbating into a pot.
Oh,
what? Am I really seeing this? Yeah. So
I don't even want to see a hot guy masturbate. Just going on record. I don't.
Right. I get that.
I don't even want to watch myself. Okay. I'm just saying.
Lauren Savant is my friend. Savant is a reporter here, and she was one of the she told us about this 18 months ago.
Right? Yeah.
You tell people. She goes it's he said, she said, nobody witnessed it and all this stuff.
I hate that term.
Yeah. And so anyway, she's now quite public about it.
She had the infamous potted plants.
Yeah, she had the potted plants.
She's that one.
Yeah, she's that one. But she was telling me, she goes I froze. I couldn't, and he was 300 pounds and I'm 100 pounds and what am I supposed to do? How am I
going
to fight? How am I going to fight that? I couldn't understand the situation. And then she did something that only women do, which is she started – not blaming herself, but assessing how she got herself into this.
After.
And even during. What did I do?
And
that's a uniquely female sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I haven't gone through anything with Harvey Weinstein, and I'm not going to pretend to come from a place. I mean, all women have dealt with this on some level, which is why this is so insane. And it's been normalized, you know? So the book sort of gives credence to the way that women have to think about things. We explode things open and we analyze things.
But you take it on, which is to me, heartbreaking in a weird way. It's It's like, this asshole was just masturbating on a plant. That has nothing to do with you. You were a victim, bystander. And yet, even as a bystander, you're like, what did I do? How did I get down here? What did I do to make this guy think he could do this? It's all my fault. It's like, no, it's not your fault.
I think that you're hitting it on the head. You're always like, what did I do? And that's even in dating, in everyday interactions. Like, what did I do to let you know that that was okay? And the answer truly is nothing. These are insane people, particularly in show business. One of my first experiences with men in stand-up, I walked into a green room. I'm not going to say the comic because no one knows who he is or cares. I walked in and he said something disgusting about my body for no reason, unprompted. And I just looked at him and he goes, welcome to the jungle. And now he writes shitty jokes on a show nobody watches. But I have to like see this guy once in a while. He has no idea that was me, like who said it. Like it was like your mother raised you to speak to a woman that way.
There's a weird thing that happened.
My point was I did nothing.
In the last 30 years, which is that we raised men to believe that that because of the idea of equality in the workplace and
that
equality
they're beyond reproach.
No, that they're the same. Women are the same as us. They want things the same. They think the same. They want sex the same. And so therefore, we can treat women just like we treat our male counterparts. And they're the same.
I really do think that part of it, you know, so you want to be treated the same, right?
You don't, though.
You want to be treated in theory. You know, you want to get paid the same. You want equal opportunity. You want to be treated with respect
as a human being, and you want to be respected as unique and you're having your own experiences.
These are all sort of utopian thoughts. And I think before it can, like, before this pendulum can get back to the middle, it's got to swing so far the other way. So you have this whole generation of women. I'm including that generation. You're like, I can be just like the guys. I can drink like the guys. I can fuck like the guys. I can be like them because you're trying to say, respect me. I'm just like one of you. But at the end of the day, we are not just like you. All we're asking is that you don't rape us when we're alone. All we're asking is that you don't completely objectify us when we walk into a room. And it's you almost have to overshoot just to get it. Pull it back.
Yeah, I agree with that. Chris isn't out there anymore. You might enjoy a book called A Return to Modesty. It was written in the 90s by a Williams College graduate, saying that women have other other sources of power than being like a man. That there are other ways to empower women than just being a male in a skirt.
Well, one of the chapters in my book is about being a guy's girl.
Yeah,
and it's about sort of the power and the objective that a lot of women have. You want to be a guy's girl because you want to be surrounded by men. You want men to you want to be the only girl in a group of guys. And that's something that it's a very naive idea.
You do want to be that?
When you're younger.
Oh.
You hear a lot of girls in their 20s. And I was that girl. I think when you're a stand-up, it's a little different because you're so surrounded by men. But, you know, a lot of times there's a power in being the only girl. You stand out, whether it's on a lineup of all-male comics or if you're the only female sportscast or the only woman in, like, a bullpen, whatever it is, you stand out and it's like, yeah, that's our girl. And what that teaches women is like, oh, yeah, I don't want any other women on my turf because I don't want to compete. Because if you're just the only girl, then you're resting on the laurels of I'm the only girl.
Well, now you have in some of your stand-up, you come at various ways how women treat women.
Yeah.
Which is something that people are not very honest and forthcoming about.
No, they're not.
Yeah. And it starts at age 12. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like boom, age 12, it's something turns on where women really start attacking and colluding and shaming and ostracizing other women and in a way that I wish they'd stop. And I understand, you know, it's embedded in our primate heritage. Do you know this?
I would imagine it has to do with eggs.
It is about
eggs. My eggs will get fertilized over yours.
It's about limited resource.
My eggs.
Yeah, it's about eggs. But it's also about how women exert power in a group.
Did we talk about this?
Maybe we did.
Yeah.
We might have.
I'm just seeing a black hole right now.
Probably. No, we did. I'm flashing out now. Yeah. When you came over to CNN and we did that.
I remember you talking about this. And I think we talked about the idea of if you shut out.
Yes. Maybe shunning. Shunning behavior.
Shunning because then you can't get food. You can't get resources if we've shut you out.
We've shut you out. You're going to be – you and your offspring are all going to be cast out into the brush.
We don't want you in. Right.
And you're dead.
Yeah.
You need social support to survive in the savannah.
Yeah.
And primates do that. Chimpanzees do
and
that.
And women do that. And I think, you know, it's so tough because how can we as feminists move forward? Let me just make a statement.
Yeah.
We cannot, as feminists and as a feminist movement, move forward without including men. If you don't have men in feminism, then you just have a bunch of women yelling at each other. Just like if you don't have white people participating in Black Lives Matter, then you just have black people that want to be treated fairly. If white people don't listen, it's not a conversation. So, you know, we ask for equality, we ask for all these things, and it's not women's fault. We are merely playing within the constructs that the construct that has been built for us, but we are not necessarily always kind to other women. And there is that, no, there's not enough to go around. And quite fucking frankly, there isn't. We love to uphold one woman at a time. We love pitting women against each other to see what happens.
Why?
I think men love to do it because they're hoping, I say this in the book, they're hoping that maybe they'll fight and maybe they'll kiss. I think
yes,
it's also
and that's about it.
A house divided. You know, if you turn them against each other, then they can't unite.
Men?
Yeah. Not always, but I also think it's easy. And they're playing on women's insecurity of, oh, if I don't fight, if I don't stand up for myself, there won't be anything left. When the truth is, if
won't be anything left.
Anything left in terms of an opportunity.
But again, won't be anything left is a uniquely female thought right there. Boom.
Right, well, because
you're thinking about limited resources.
Our resources are limited. Yeah. Our shelf life is societally defined. You know, age 30, then you may as well kill yourself, they say. Your eggs are limited. Your job, you know, depending on what you do for a living, maybe you're not fuckable. You're not castable. So we think about these things. I mean, just the way that men look at age, I always think this is interesting. Men always want women to smile. But you know what smiling does? It makes wrinkles. Then you're old. So you're kind of fucked no matter what you do. But there is that. And when you're actually, and I talk about this in the book, when you're genuinely confident, like when you know that what you do is the best, then you actually do want to surround yourself with other women who are great too.
Yeah.
I don't believe in supporting a woman just because she's a woman. I do believe it's merit-based. And I think that is the way forward. This bullshit hand-holding, like, she's a woman, therefore, you're not seeing it. You're not seeing... You're seeing women proud of other women for coming out, but yeah. I think in mass, women need to judge other women by their merit. Because I think just upholding other women because she's a woman, just for the sake of it, I don't think that's the path forward.
And you were talking about men being liking younger women. Them liking younger women and them wanting to hang around with younger women is two different things.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like a guy that's constantly dating younger women, other men look at that guy and go, all right, dude, come on. You know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah, it's creepy, but
we don't go, oh, right. You might do something, you know, a high five, but you're also like, hey, come on. It's like, because I know I want to be around people at least close to my age. That's, and I'm not that evolved.
Right.
You know, I'm not. And so it's just like that. It's, if I were just hanging out with even 30-year-olds, I'd be like, ugh, what's the matter with me?
Well, I don't think that typically lasts. I mean, you rarely meet. It's like, I'm 60, she's 20. We really get along, and this is going to last forever.
Yeah, that is insanity. It's
right.
Insanity.
I'm not even sure. I mean, yeah, any guy that I literally, and I'll never forget this. I had a friend who was several years older than me, and I was in my early 20s, and he looked at me and he said, women over 30 are useless.
Who said this?
Is this guy that I was friends with, who is divorced and twice and not attractive. But as a young woman, hearing a man who was older say that to me, like, I think...
What was he saying? What did he mean?
He was just saying, like, after that age,
I mean,
you're useless. He's an insane person, and that's insane. I think that...
But then again, women that you build your own insecurities. I go, yeah, he's right. I know he must mean it.
Even at 25, 26, I knew he was wrong. But the fact that he said that to me as if I would never get to that age. Like, what am I supposed to do? Throw myself off a cliff after that?
Wow.
We say these things to women and we have these messages that even the slightest thing can leave an indelible mark on our psyches. And we carry these things with us forever. And it's like, don't be so fragile.
Why do you listen to men?
I didn't listen. He said it, and I heard it. And I don't think that's the case. I couldn't believe that he said that. I couldn't believe that he thought that was okay.
I can't either, frankly. That he thought it was okay is different than that he said it. Because guys will...
Because guys think really gross things all the time.
Yes,
yeah, there is
exactly,
a difference. Because we all
exactly.
have crazy, horrible thoughts.
Yes.
But uttering it to another human...
So the reason I have your book open this page and holding it here is that I'm fascinated that the first pictures are you and Mom. And so I'm guessing that relationship, is that what I'm saying? Yes.
Yeah.
That relationship explored in this book?
Yeah, there's no subtext. It just, I think we just, they stuck that in there first.
Okay.
But that is the first picture in the book.
But that is another big thing that men don't understand, which is the mom-daughter relationship. I sit and look at that with my wife, my daughter, and she goes, what the hell is going on? What is that?
Oh.
What is going on
What's happening?
Here? What is that? It is, and I talked to a psychiatrist friend of mine. he goes, he's an old-time psychiatrist, and he goes, you know, he was treating a lesbian couple, and he goes, you know, this really recreates the mother-daughter relationship, which, you know, this is that's the most intense relationship that humans can have. And I thought, oh, interesting.
Oh.
So I thought about it, I thought, it is a pretty intense thing. There's a lot packed
into it. Being a woman is an intense thing.
Did you – I don't know if you write about mom relationship in here or you get into that, but I'm looking for you for that because some of that is recapitulated in the relationship with other women.
Recapitulated. You know, it's – I had a great example of a woman.
Where'd you grow up?
Let's I'm from Dallas.
Okay.
And my mom's from New York.
And
my parents are from New York.
Were they together the whole time?
They broke up. That sounds like they were in a band. They got divorced when I was seven. Why did they get divorced?
Yeah. Do we know?
Just personality clashing. Maybe my dad, you know, but I don't think the book has much to do. I mean, I'm sure everything has to do with parental issues. But in the book, I had a very good example of how to act as a woman coming from my mother. There's a lot in there about her becoming a single woman and me watching the way other women treated her. And I also watched the way that my mother always treated women. You know, I think it's a learned behavior to be a fucking bitch. And I think we learn it from our mother sometimes, you know, the little things you put out there. And my mother never put down other women. If another woman was beautiful, she'd always be like, oh, and where's your friend's beautiful mother? And she would like fell over how beautiful she was. And my mom was beautiful, is beautiful. So I never was taught to look at other women with jealousy. I love attractive friends. I hope if I stand next to them, I'll absorb some of that. Like, it's just, I didn't learn from example to dislike other women based on the way they looked.
Is that why you see some of that stuff? That's why it's so glaring to you when you see other women behaving like that? I remember one of your stand-ups, I guess was the, I can't forget the names of them, but I think it was your first Netflix special where you were talking about Sheila.
I mean, that sounds like me. That voice and that name is something I would choose. But it's just something I guess my mom was such a great example, and I saw how shitty other women were to her, and I've always seen how shitty women can be to each other. And having felt that, I always wanted – I think I make my stand-up shows all-inclusive because I know what it feels like to not be accepted, and I always want girls to feel like they're welcome. Mm. Men too. But it is a painful thing. I changed schools a lot growing up.
Why?
The first one, I had to leave my nice private school because my parents got a divorce, and then they sent me to like – a school for like kids with learning differences, but I didn't really have one, so it was like a mistake.
You were just depressed because your parents were broken
up? I wasn't depressed. I just didn't need to be there. Like a little bit of ADD like any other normal kid, but like when I'm acing math classes, then you know I'm in the wrong school. And I was just like, these kids are dumb. So then I went to a public school, and then that school filtered to another school, and then I changed to a nice private school for high school. So it was just a lot of shifting.
All in Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, you're always having to kind of be like, who's my new group? What am I doing? And through that, the book talks about, you know, using humor to attract really any friend that would have you. But it was a lot of guys because they're like, oh, this girl's funny. Little girls didn't necessarily know how to process it.
Right.
And boys were like, she said something.
Well, guys like teasing. Women hate teasing.
Teasing. And I was very smart and quick. And, and these weren't like hot dudes. These were just like whoever. I would just take whoever. And these were my buddies.
Yeah.
And obviously, as you get older, like sexuality becomes a thing, and it's funny. Everyone's always like, oh, you've got guy friends and they want to fuck you. I'm like, you know what? Maybe at first, but if you've been my friend for this long, we've been through this much, if I've employed you at one point, like the sexuality gets taken out of it.
Right. And even if they still had that or have it, it's marginalized.
It's enough. And they're adults.
Yeah, yeah.
But getting men's attention with sense of humor is something like, you know, I've always kind of relied on that, whether it's dating or just making friends. And it's good and bad, I guess. So
how's it bad?
Well, it can be very threatening. It can be very threatening. You know, I work in an all-male industry, so I've definitely walked into green rooms where and this is a while ago, but – or even now, you walk in and men are intimidated, so they don't say hi. They don't shake your hand. You go on a radio show, and the DJ's a dick to you.
Sure. Well, now you use two examples. Some DJs are dicks. So
some of them are very nice, but yeah,
some of them are dicks,
so
that's just their job. They're professional dicks, some of them. And then comedians aren't the most socially adept individuals necessarily.
But I've been in like meetings, like you can feel the vibe. You can see when a guy like kind of puffs up a little bit, or the way
I'm probing that because I don't experience you that way at all. So I'm surprised that
you're very confident. You're very secure in who you are. My fiance is very secure in who he is. I've never dated a guy I mean, for the most part, that wasn't secure in that. I seek out men that are very secure.
But I'm surprised that you would threaten to the point that they would be shut down like
oh,
that.
Oh, my God. It takes so little. So little. It can be a joke, a thing, and then they get very prickly. And that's not all men.
Prickly, I get, but shut down and not say hi to you and stuff. That, to me, that's
oh,
like,
my God. No, because
it's so
like,
weird.
I think it comes from an insecurity. They're afraid. Or they don't know what to say. Or maybe they're a fan. Or maybe they're like, fuck her. She's successful. I don't want to talk to her.
That and sounds more like comedians.
What I've learned to navigate through this is like I just walk up and I be the fucking homecoming queen that you think I am, which I'm not. I walk right up. Hi. How are you? You know, you give them a chance to be a person.
Sure. That's good. Just being a bigger man.
I'm being the bigger man. It's true. You'll see it with fans sometimes. Every once in a while, you'll get like a guy that brought his girlfriend. I feel like I said this before, but when you're on stage and you're making someone laugh, there's, you know, like when a man can make a woman laugh, like women are attracted to men who can do that. That's why ugly comics have hot girlfriends. Yeah. So I'm on stage and I'm making your girlfriend laugh. I've seen men after that will give me like an extra hard handshake or that will say something shitty. And this is not always. I've got great fans. But what it comes from is that like I just spent the last hour fucking his girlfriend.
Oh, I see. And do you on social media, do you get some do you find that miserable or is that supportive for you?
I have a pretty decent experience. Like we've all been on Twitter, which is a garbage fire.
Ugh.
Instagram's a whole other world and yeah, there's lame people, but I have really great fans and a lot of them are men. And you know, you just kind of weed out the shitty ones. And anybody, you know, that doesn't matter. But these are things that women have to deal with are male insecurities. And you get this in dating. Like if you make a guy feel bad, you don't know how he's going to react. We have to take into account male insecurity because exacting revenge is a very real part of a female experience.
When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. A lot of times that is not the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they are not available. Not with TrueCar. Of course, I'm talking about TrueCar. You get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. This is a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Yeah, you know, and we talk about all the time. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. Next, TrueCar, TrueCar.com or TrueCar app will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. Over 3,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers are available nationwide. You will get to work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer that you make contact with. And TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster, better buying experience when they contact a TrueCar Certified Dealer. And on average, you can expect to save over $3,000 off MSRP. Once you register, you'll see a real price on actual inventory. Hook up with that TrueCar certified dealer. Have a better buying experience. TrueCar, go to the TrueCar.com or TrueCar app. Do what I'm telling you. I want to tell you about Health IQ. They use science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for the health conscious people. It includes runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Health IQ can help save our customers up to 33% because, of course, physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. They maintain their weight more appropriately in a more appropriate range, and they are, of course, training their cardiovascular system. This is from a study done by Warburton et al. In 2006. It's like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, right? Makes sense. Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. All you got to do is go to HealthIQ, HealthIQ.com/Drew. Makes perfect sense. It's an insurance company that helps the health-conscious people like yourself, runners, cyclists, weightlifters, vegans, vegetarians, helps you guys get lower rates on your life insurance. All you got to do is go to HealthIQ.com/Drew. Check it out. See if you qualify. What do you got to lose? Check it out. HealthIQ.com/Drew. I want to go back to your family of origin and talk about your dad. He's a financial planner. Is that right? And you still have a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
And when they split, were you able to maintain time with him? And
no, my dad moved away. My dad moved away to Connecticut for his job.
Ugh. Maybe that's why they split.
I was on your show last time, and I remember leaving feeling like I didn't want to do all that. I don't want to do the work today.
You don't want to talk about all that? That's fine. We don't have to at all.
No, because here's why. Because I think it's a trope to be like, oh, girl with dad issues. We all got issues. We've all got dad issues. I so desperately don't want to paint myself as anything special in the missing father realm. Like everything, you know, we've had our ups and our downs, but
you're good with them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think especially men in our society, we love the idea of like, oh, you got daddy issues. No wonder you're fucked up. And that's like a thing that we apply to a lot of women.
Mm. Well, I don't experience you as fucked up or
– No,
or,
but –
So that's
just
good.
Getting out ahead of it, folks.
Okay, good. Nor am I one to – I don't consider it – if you blame your parents, you're just creating more victims and more
– As an adult, sure.
Yeah, but to understand ourselves through whatever and however we acted and then sort of got set into our personality or psyche.
There's lots of that, sure.
I understand that. I mean, I like to understand that stuff. Okay, they split up and you stayed with your mom. And did they split up because of that, him needing to go to Connecticut, do you think?
No.
No.
Oh, God,
okay.
That was way later.
Okay.
Split up because, you know, personality conflict, whatever. You grow apart.
Yeah.
It's two alphas that didn't connect.
It was not somebody cheating or that kind of thing.
No.
Yeah.
And then my dad got remarried and moved to Connecticut. And it was my mom and my brother and me.
What's your brother doing now?
He owns a medical marijuana farm, or marijuana
wow.
farm, I guess, in Northern California.
Wow. That's
built it all
business.
With his bare hands. Yeah. We're happy for him. We're happy that he's alive.
Uh-oh.
No, he's fine.
Uh-oh.
He's fine. No, he's fine. But, yeah, so it was that. And so it was interesting because I watched the way other people treated my mom and our family. And it went from we had a family to we have this, like, amputated family. Mm. And there's a story in the book about we're at my brother's soccer game and here's my mom. She's got a job, you know, educated woman. It's not like she was sweeping floors, but yeah. She has a job and, you know, you still want to be there for both of your kids. And we were at a soccer game and my mother fell. She fell down some bleachers and she skinned. She still has the scar, geez. The entire front of her shin. And
These
none
are great
of the
pictures.
Moms.
The pictures in this book are awesome.
They're good pictures.
They're hysterical.
And none of the moms helped my mom. She just sat there crying. My mom has no tolerance for pain.
What is with that?
None of the moms. She remembers that.
It's weird.
Eventually, some woman came over, and what my brother remembered, he was 2 years younger than me, that later that night, he said, how come none of the dads helped you? Because it was like, maybe it's because we were Jewish, or maybe it's because you're the single one, but it's like, ugh, there's that woman and her, who knows, but there was like no humanity in like Plano, Texas in the 90s.
That's very bizarre.
And I remember that. And I remember thinking that nobody cared. So that's shitty.
And where's your mom now? She's still in Texas?
They live in Florida, her and my stepdad.
That's nice. So she got remarried and everything's good with her.
When I was 14, yeah.
This book looks so good. Do you use some of this in the stand-up too?
You know, it's funny. I started writing this book about a year ago.
Yeah.
So some of the jokes that are in my old special are in this. So people are like, no, they're your old jokes. I'm like, yeah, it took me a year to write this book. I've got other shit to do. So there's themes, but these are kind of earnest stories that are funny, but
it also seems like a little bit of a how-to on dating.
There's definitely a couple chapters and just kind of getting around some of the bullshit and things like that. I just think texting is the biggest enemy to dating. And
I'm single because I eat my couch cushions and make horse noises during sex.
Well, I think you got that. You've taken that out of context, doctor.
I think I did too. And people can get this at Amazon and get the usual places, right?
I'd like it. I'd love it if they pre-ordered it.
Oh, it's pre-ordered now? Okay, please.
Pre-order it now because it's out.
Everybody,
November 7th.
Go do it.
Oh, it's out.
It's out. Time of this.
It's out now.
Okay, it's out now.
We're way ahead.
Okay.
Sorry. I should have told you that.
It's in the future. Yep, it's on Amazon.
And it's great.
Are you on the road a lot now or what's life like now? What's going on?
When is this coming out? When is this out? I just want to make sure I get the right time frame.
A few weeks. It'll be out.
Okay. Then I am on the road. I'm doing.
But I mean, what's your life like now? I mean, is it changing? Is it different than last time we were together? Is it fiance? That seems new.
It's new compared to the last time we were together. Yeah. We're getting married in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But before we get married, I will do another Netflix taping. I will go on a USO tour. I will go on a European tour.
A USO tour? Do you have to go into weird places?
Yeah, but you don't know until you go.
Oh, my God.
It'll be – I can't say anything
I mean, I don't know
it.
Or you don't know?
I don't know.
Oh.
I did one a couple years ago. I did it over – it's the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Christmas tour. So I did a couple years ago with the chairman at the time, Martin Dempsey. Excuse me. And so you go to like Afghanistan. And
can you ever film that stuff?
I'm sure I could film some. I'd have to like.
I'd love to see what the troops. Be fantastic.
Oh, it's cool, and they make us like little books, and it's fun. But you don't know. You go to Washington, and you go to the airbase, and you get on a plane that looks like Air Force One,
going somewhere.
And they tell you then because they
can. You take your fiance with you? Or
I can take a guest.
Okay, good.
I'm not taking him.
Oh, how dare you?
He's got work, and he's. I think Christmas would be nice with his family.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go alone too. There's other people, and
does he want to go?
I don't even – I think it's just not a possibility.
What's he do for a living?
He's a chef.
Okay.
And it's just like a lot – it's a 10-day tour.
That's a cool job.
Yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
On a dating app called Raya. It's a celebrity
Raya's
dating
a celebrity
app.
Dating thing.
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
He's not a celebrity and I barely am. So.
How did he get – well, I see how you got on there. How did he get on there?
How did he get on? I'll tell you how. Because dating apps need men, not women.
Oh.
So like he had a friend that was like, why don't you come on here? Like you're a good-looking guy. You're cool. Most of the people on there aren't celebrities. None of the people I dated were celebrities. They just kind of wait. Like, you don't want to be dating your Uber driver. It's not your sponsor, is it?
But no.
So.
How do you get on Raya? Is it a...
You have to apply.
But I mean, is it like an interview or a...
I think you just apply. I don't remember. At the time, someone asked me to be on it. Like, I knew someone. But I think you apply. I think it's based on an algorithm about how many people follow you versus how many you follow. And
on like Twitter?
No, on Instagram. It links through there.
Instagram.
You have to have a real profile. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was it. So.
Oh, so it's a bunch of Instagram models, that kind of thing.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of like 19-year-old models from Minsk. And you're like, cool.
From Minsk?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And like Terry Hatcher is on there. I don't remember seeing any male celebrities on there. So.
Oh, I know they're on there. I've heard of only males being on there. That's all I've heard about.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But we met on there and it was just pretty much a done deal. And so, yeah, I'm just on tour. I just did a late night show and we're trying to find a new home for it. I've written a couple of scripts that hopefully in the next couple of weeks are going to shake out into some sort of.
How'd the Freeform show go?
I really enjoyed it and I was very grateful that I got to make 6 episodes of an idea of a show that I wanted. And we're going to push forward and try to find another home.
Is that the late night thing?
Yeah.
Same idea.
It can never be the exact same, but
yeah,
I
yeah.
think.
Same idea.
I'm the one constant.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, it's your late night show.
It was good.
Where do you think that'll end up?
I don't know. We're finding out. We're taking meetings.
Netflix has a new slot.
Netflix does have a new slot, but it's an endless just gauntlet. Just you have to run full speed and at a bunch of hurdles, and there's no finish line in sight.
Are you happy?
I'm happy when I'm working.
Yeah. You're workaholic?
I don't know. What does that mean?
You let other things really dwindle or wither.
What other things are there?
Well, relationships, mm-mm. nutrition, exercise, your dog.
No.
Is your dog going with you to Afghanistan or wherever you end up?
She can't go with me on that, but she'll go on the tour around the country. I don't think a workaholic as much as I just really am not happy unless things are moving forward.
Yes.
I
can relate to that strongly.
Sure. When the show, we wrapped
I
our
think
show.
I think that's a little piece of workaholism that need to be growing and moving all the time. But,
yeah.
But it doesn't. It's not consuming. I've been a severe workaholic and I've been a mild workaholic. And
yeah. I think it depends on the project.
Yeah.
And I think it depends, like, when there is nothing that need to create stuff, which is an asset, but it can also, when the phone isn't ringing, like, just the darkest thoughts. Like, this summer was just brutal because the tour hadn't started yet. I wasn't sure when my next Netflix special was going to tape. We had wrapped the late night show. We didn't know where that was going. So, and it's the summer anyway, so it's slow.
Are you aware that they, at one point, were going to put us together in the Freeform thing?
Or no.
Or they were going to try to do something? Because I've got a deal over there,
completely
too.
Completely unaware.
And I was like, well, sure, I'll do Eliza in a second. But then I think they wanted you by yourself. And I was like, still, if you guys want to do something, bring her back. I'd happily do something like
that. We can have a conversation offline about how I feel.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I did not know that.
That was something that came up for me. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll do that.
Well,
but I think they want separate things over there for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's just I just really enjoy – and the person I'm dating, and I wish women would get this. Like,
it's your fiancé.
My fiancé,
yeah,
you're right.
You're dating.
Sorry, I'm so used
to saying
that.
You're married.
The man I'm going to spend my life with is very – accepting isn't the word because that makes it sound like, yeah, I prefer you not. From day one has come to every show. And that will die out. And
so
it's
he admires
funny.
Your work.
He admires it. I think he likes going. He loves comedy. So he gets to meet the other comics. Like, that's a cool thing for a dude to be like, oh, I just met Joe Rogan. Oh, I just saw, you know, Sebastian go up, or any of these guys. Deal. It's cool. And he listens to the podcast anyway.
Well, comedians have become weirdly like the new rock stars.
For sure. Yeah. And at the Comedy Store, like, that's our turf. And,
yeah.
You know, for a fan of it already, he's not like weird or anything, but they know him. And I think that there's something cool to that.
They
and
know him because of you, or they know him because of
me.
Should we go to his restaurant?
You can.
What's his restaurant?
No, I can't.
You can't?
I don't use his name.
Oh. Well, you tell me after so I can go to his restaurant.
Sure. And okay. You can, I'll let him know you're going.
Yeah.
But he's been so supportive of it. And like the other night, he was like, do you want me to go to your show? And I didn't, I was trying to say it in like the least, like spiny way. I was like, you can come or not. I'm going. Like, this train is going. If you want to get on, that's awesome. If not, I'm still going. Like, I'm still doing my job. So, like, you don't want to make someone feel bad. He's like, you want me to come? You would like it if I came, huh? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I've been doing this every night by myself for 10 years. Dates or no dates. Boyfriend, no boyfriend, whatever. Great. And so he does like to come. He comes on the road.
Do you love it?
I do love him.
Yeah. No, do you love work?
I love I hate everything about this business except for your show and the moment I walk on stage to the moment I walk off. Everything, that's what I love. Yeah. Everything else is just superfluous garbage.
Well, New Year's is coming up. Everyone's trying to set their new resolutions. But you may not know exactly what you need to do or what's best for you to do. Well, there is now a way to target your genetics and your genetic traits to deliver programs that are built just for you. So I keep doing a workout or a diet plan that you're just sort of guessing is right. Go to Fitness Genes. It's an ultimate personalized fitness program, and it's built for you and your genetic profile. It's a DNA analysis kit plus one of these goal-based genetically optimized training system, either losing weight, building muscle, or getting fit. Order the DNA analysis kit, 20% off using the promo code Drew. You can add a training system later if you want. Check out what is appropriate for you. Leverage your genetics to make the most out of your diet and exercise choices. You could be sabotaging your success. It could be your genes. It could be your genetic profile. It could be your biology that makes it so difficult for you to respond to whatever program you've randomly chosen or you think is one that you're more likely to enjoy. But how about the one that's just right for you? Things like drinking the right kind of coffee and at the right time of day, exercising at the optimal time. Genetically, are you lactose intolerant? Are you unnecessarily cutting too many carbs and neglecting the healthy fat intake? Thank you, Vinny. These are just a few of the insights that you will gain at the Fitness Genes Analysis. Get the results in just 4 weeks. Spit saliva in a collection capsule. Mail it back. Designed by a team of geneticists and doctors. Order now and compare your results. Find out by searching Fitness Gene and Dr. Dan on Facebook. Follow them at Fitness Genes or at Dan Reardon, R-E-A-R-D-O-N. Check them out. Look into it. Fitness Genes. It's an interesting program, and it may be exactly what you need to get success in either losing weight, building muscle, or getting fit. Again, it is Fitness Genes, G-E-N-E-S, Fitness Genes.
Bitch.
You know what I don't know is your very first sort of how you fell in love with comedy. How'd that happen to you?
It's so boring.
Well, okay.
Oh, don't, please don't make me.
Then don't.
I was a
That's
funny
fine.
Kid.
No.
No, funny.
I mean, I guess what I was, you know, did you have any like hooked moment where you walked out on stage like, I was hooked and that was that?
It's such a bullshit story.
Okay, then don't tell me.
No, but I'll just say it like. A lot of comics are, I think, more like this. Like, I was always funny. You were always funny. That was always your thing. In school, when they'd be like, you can write a report, make a diorama, or do a skit. I'm like, I'm making a skit. I'm doing a video. Just the need to perform. And, you know, I feel very comfortable on a stage. And I feel very comfortable pontificating and just taking an idea and talking. I don't care about – I'm going to do James Corden on Halloween. I don't know when this – I will have done James Corden by the time this airs.
Yes.
So I was running it last night. And I popped into the Comedy Store during – this time of night where like open micers kind of get up and friends and family showing 5 minutes, and I got on stage, and it's, you could tell where the comics are sitting, you know, and they're all like relatively new. And I got on stage, I was like, and this is definitely not my time running a late night set. I was like, I'm gonna run my late night set to the audience, pretend that I'm on James Corden to the comics. You're not gonna laugh anyway. I don't care if you do, the jokes are staying. Cause it's just, I don't know, you kind of just get used to it. I forgot where that was going, but I do
about
love
why you fell, yeah, how you fell in love with it, and you love your boyfriend, you love your fiance. That's good. Is a family thing? Is that part of the deal?
A family thing? Kids? Guess we could have kids.
Is that something you want to do?
It's funny. I was thinking about this because this is in the special. would like to have kids, but it's also something I never questioned. Like, I had, you know, I grew up in the suburbs.
Like would I have kids?
Yeah, I was like, you get married, you have a kid. It was never something that tugged at my heartstring, especially in your 20s. Like, you see a baby and you're like, please don't be sitting next to me on a plane. And I was in the airport the other day and there's a baby and he had his little chubby baby leg hanging out. And I went up to the mom and I was like, can I touch your baby's leg? And I just squeezed it. Like, your maternal instincts.
You're in.
I was just, I'm going to squeeze that leg. So I definitely find myself being like, oh, but I also get annoyed at like shitty parents. I'm excited. I would be excited to be a mom just so I can have that perspective and judge
have
other women.
Experience.
Now. Have that experience. Have that experience and be able to come from that point of view.
God, that mom judging thing is a whole other layer to this.
I was talking to Heather McDonald on her podcast. Sorry, yeah. But I was.
Heather, our good friends.
I'm kidding.
And now that I don't know if you've listened to the ones I've done with her. I've done a bunch. And it's all about her brother and her sister. And, I mean, you know, the craziness. The brother's in
she's
prison.
She's the youngest of several. Well,
oh, boy.
But she,
so anyway.
She was talking. She kind of – I said something about moms and she kind of latched onto that. And I'm very careful to not give opinions about things that I can't speak. I would be annoyed if someone was talking about being a mother that wasn't a mother. All I can say is it seems like unless you're beating your kid, it seems like we should all kind of let mothers mother the way that they want to. Like unless the kid's in danger.
Yeah.
It's this constant, well, you're not the kind of mother I would be. And this trickles down to the way women – and I've dealt with this in social media and just with being a woman. Women tend to get angry if you're not the exact woman they wanted you to be. Oh, you said one thing that hurt my fifis. Now I hate you.
And yeah, that flipping, mm-hmm. Like, I hate you now. I have to destroy you.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we have to, if we're going to be academic about this, you have to separate, okay, so I said one thing that upset you, so we're going to disregard my entire body of work because I hurt your feelings on this one day. And we all do it.
Well, you know, we do all do it, and I think we're more prone in these times.
Oh.
You know, the people are just very black
and white. Grab a tweet. I hope you die because you said this one thing once.
Yeah, we have to, and then they have to destroy you, which is I don't get that. By the way, I'm just thinking a lot of I have like girl women friends like Jen Kirkman's a friend of mine, the Heather McDonald friend of mine.
Really,
last time Jen just did your podcast. I think last time I heard Jen on another uh-huh. podcast, on your podcast, and that was thoroughly entertaining.
It was fun. I don't remember. It was so long ago, but
yeah,
I do
it was a
like
while
her.
Ago. I was listening to it just recently.
She's funny.
Oh, yeah, she's great, and and Heather's great, and you're great. And do you as women in comedy hang together?
No, I mean Heather. I don't know Heather that
but
well.
But I don't mean hang out together. I mean, do you support each other if you're?
You know, she invited me on her podcast.
Yeah.
Jen came on mine, which is a supportive thing. You know, it's interesting. I separate from them. You write a book, so you reach out to anybody that you know personally, and you say, you know, I would love to send you a copy of my book. I'd love it if you'd support it. And a lot of people wrote back, and then you can't help it because there's definitely things that I ignore, but there are people who like just didn't write back, and I get it. And asking someone to read a book, I mean, you're a doctor, so you read a lot of books, but it's a pain in the ass. But you still
it's a pain
can't
in the ass if you ask me to do the foreword. It's right. not a pain in the ass if
poor Mayim Bialik.
Right. It's not a pain in the ass if you ask me to do the blurb, and it's not a pain in the ass if it's an honor to do a blurb, and it's an honor to read your book and then talk to you about it. I mean, that's
I think it. I don't.
I wrote Doug Stanhope's foreword,
and now look at you. I don't know.
No, it's coming out soon. Okay. We're now best friends, but we went from dire enemies to best friends. So it's
I was lucky enough to get Mayim Bialik to write mine. I was very sad for what happened with her in her New York Times article.
Yeah, let's talk
piece.
About that. Yeah, yeah.
Because another example of...
Well, describe what happened. Because I know she did a whole like Instagram or Facebook thing to try to defend it.
She defended it later on Facebook Live. She basically wrote this op-ed piece. Do I think it could have been worded better? And I love her. I love her so much. Perhaps. She's such a
Perhaps?
Smart... Do I think it could have been worded better?
Ah.
Sorry. That was a fragment. Yeah. But her whole point, you know, she was like, I dress modest and this is, you know... And I've never experienced this. I really think the essence of what she was saying was be mindful of the fact that this is the playing field that we're on. Be mindful of the fact that even though you don't deserve to be treated a certain way, it will happen. And maybe
by men or women or both.
By men.
Yeah.
I don't – and that's it. And people rather – than you know, look, you wrote a New York Times piece. People are going to latch onto it. But the vitriol that was spewed at her – This woman does nothing but champion women. She wrote a book. I moderated the panel for it at Barnes & Noble called Girling Up. It's for like young women to explain on a cellular level what's happening to your body and life as you get older. She has a blog called Grok Nation where she tirelessly defends women, her ethics, her feminism, and just the way people came down on her because everyone's so sensitive. My heart broke because she's so not the one that deserved that.
I agree with you. And I don't think, though, it affected her that much, did it? She felt, it looked like she was pretty courageous through all that.
She was. She did her thing, you know, and she's not – you're not going to see her like spilling out of a car drunk on Hollywood Boulevard anyway. But I think that definitely –
I think people are sort of locked and loaded with Maya because she's so smart and she has such strong opinions that they do feel a little mom judged by her, I think. And I have a feeling that's why they were locked and loaded and looking for a reason to get angry.
I think people are mom judged against women in general. I've had it happen to me. You know, you say one thing wrong and it's like, well, fuck you.
Well, but she has a lot of strong child rearing opinions.
She does. She does it her way. But if there's one thing I know about her is that she's the first one to be like, and that's the way I do it.
Oh,
if that's
absolutely.
Not, but that nobody wants to hear that.
Well, they don't hear that. They
she
hear the
always,
judging.
If you listen to her, and that's the way I do it. And if you don't do it, that's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's interesting. I'm not going to say names. She was watching some stand-up, and a stand-up was talking about her own child-rearing experience. And Mayim texted me, and she was like, I feel like this stand-up hates me. She doesn't know me, but she is attacking everything that I stand for.
Did she know that she was in the audience?
No. It was like just watching it on TV.
Oh.
And so it was interesting. So everyone's feeling attacked at all times. And
was it another woman, the comedian?
I'm not even going to say that because I don't want to But what was interesting was she was still able to say, but it's funny. She felt like the girl was diametrically opposed to her, but she was like, I like her. So I thought that was very big of her.
That's good. Yeah, well, she's so smart.
She's so smart. And what was...
She calls you. She is very – comedian, philosopher, performer, business force to be reckoned with. That's you.
Very small
and
LLC.
But there's a little statement here I think that's pretty – sorry. Do you need me to
– No. I picked up my arm. Now
I need to get
bleeding.
A suture.
Is anyone a doctor?
Yep. Apply pressure. That's all you got to do.
Tissue.
Can you help her? Anybody? The paper towel?
It looks like I cut my arm
yes,
shaving.
Yes. Here you go.
Thank you.
You're hurt. This is Maya. You're hurt, your fear, your loneliness will be remedied time and again with the laughter and the wisdom of a woman who will teach you to fight for yourself, identification as a warrior. In other words, she says, God help you if you can't find yourself in the pages of this book.
God help you, you heathens.
No, meaning that there's a lot of universal truth in what you're saying. And that's sort of the way I feel about your comedy. Like, you're
Thank
very
you.
Insightful. And if
it's
you
honest.
Don't... Well, it's honest, but it's also truthful.
It's truthful,
yeah.
You know,
and so to say, I disagree with Eliza. I think is like weird because you're just observing.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, you can disagree with like life choices, but all I'm humbly offering is this is my life that I've lived. You know, and I tried to offer up some real experiences. I talk about an abortion that I had. I talk about I had a nose job. You know, can't wait for people to find that one out. But whatever. Like, who cares? Now I can finally, like, share pictures of when I was younger. I talk about these things.
I didn't even notice that difference.
Yeah, I feel like no one's noticing that in the book. I'm wondering if it's in there because everyone's like, it's dating advice. I'm like, there's so many vulnerable things in there. just trying to offer a couple of things. Not so much saying you should do this as much as I've done it and guess what? Life goes on.
Did you have a bump in your nose or something? I can't even see what the difference is.
Yeah, there's no pictures of me when I was a teenager in there.
Oh, okay.
Well. There's a reason for that. It was fine. It was a bump, and I didn't like it. And it was – the whole reason I bring it up was because
– What's wrong with that?
I genuinely got it because I hated it so much. No one made fun
What's
of me.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Okay.
But I go on later to say, you know, there's plastic surgery and there's plastic surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bump because I hate this and I can't get past it. And then there's – I want giant lips so it looks like I suck a lot of dicks. I really – no one gets lip implants for any reason other than to look like to be sexual.
Well,
the least sexual thing.
Lips and breasts. Lips is sort of a vaginal recreation. It's a vaginal
– It's 100%.
Yeah.
It's wet, juicy, pink, plump
and
lips.
And then the breasts are just sort of advertisement. Like, hey, here I am.
And again, it's tough because I have big boobs, so it's hard for me to be like, don't do that. But don't act like – you're doing it for you. I say it in the book, like, if there were no men.
Well, they're doing it right. They're doing it for them, for men.
And then men criticize women for that. So it's really a losing battle. But there's just things in the book that I pepper through it just to be like, look, my life wasn't all hand jobs and lollipops.
Go get it, like every life should be. Hand Jobs and Lollipops.
Yeah.
Girl
who's
Logic.
Who's getting that hand job?
The Genius and the Absurdity. Go, get it. Everybody hear my voice. Get it. Get it.
Is it Dr. Endorsed?
Dr. Endorsed. Let me read Mark Maron's comment. Liza not only has a way with words, she also has an observational intensity that pushes these words into your brain with comedic fury.
That's because I always bring him up on stage and he's like, let's just take it down a notch. Like after I've gone on stage. Because I'm like at a 10 and he is like a wise turtle. I'm just like a hare that's all over the place and... Wise Turtle finishes the race.
All right. Get the Girl Logic. It's available on her website at Eliza.com, I-L-I-Z-A.
Yeah.
The new Netflix special is up now.
Oh.
It's coming up soon.
I don't know.
Wait, you just told me the name is not Freezing Hot. There's a new one coming up.
It's out.
It's Freezing Hot is out.
Confirmed Kills was the last one.
Confirmed Kills.
And that's
okay.
been out for quite some time.
Kills.
And the new one we're recording soon.
All right. Excellent. And I appreciate you coming in, and hopefully we'll sell some books.
I gotta go run around the block.
No. I'm still having this weird. My heart rate's about at 110, and I'm having this weird semi-panic attack thing. But of course, I've drunk Diet Coke the whole time, so
it's better now.
Yeah, way better.
More cancer.
No, I don't know that because it's giving me cancer. It's just giving me more anxiety, more panic. I had panic when I was a kid. I had panic and depression when I was like 19
or 22.
I've
never had a panic attack.
Ugh, it's just awful.
You say that more people think they're having panic attacks than they actually are?
Certainly people are more aware of what they are and are more able to identify them as panic attacks, but I think more people are having sort of mild anxiety and calling it panic attacks.
Yeah. I felt all of 2017 was a slow burn panic attack.
Yeah, it's just high anxiety. That's all. Liza Schlesinger, get her book. I appreciate you being here, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
For call-in times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's D-R-D-R-E-W Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the swinging sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. All conversation and information exchanged during the participation in the Dr. Drew Podcast is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction. Nothing on these podcasts supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the podcast or drdrew.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com